Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said every man has a right to his opinion, but no man has a right to be wrong about the facts. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. It's good to be able to study from the Bible, and we always are glad to have this opportunity. We want to return now to our study, and we were talking about things that no one can know. There are some things that a person cannot know because God chose not to reveal them. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed to us and to our children. And so there are some things God just did not choose to tell us about, and those are things that belong to God that we cannot know. There are also some things that we cannot know because they contradict what God has revealed, what God has said. Now, nobody could know that a thing is right if God said it's wrong. And so, in our study, we noted that there are some people who claim to think that they will be saved, and they know that they have salvation, even though they have not been obedient. They have refused to do what the Lord commanded, and they still think that they have the right to salvation. My friends, I confidently affirm that a person cannot know that he will be saved if he refuses to obey what the Lord commanded. So we ought to think seriously about doing the commands of the Lord instead of trying to find ways to keep from doing what the Lord has commanded. Another thing that a person cannot know because it's contrary to the things revealed in the Bible, and that is that he cannot know that he will have a second chance in order to be saved. Do you know there are people among us who teach that salvation is a matter of being offered to mankind during his lifetime? But even if a man during his lifetime refuses to obey, that the time will come when the Lord will give him one more chance. A second opportunity will be given. They tell us after death, if a person has chosen not to obey God, that there will be someone appear to them, the Lord perhaps himself talking with them, and giving to them a second opportunity, a second chance. And so there are those who go through life thinking, well, if I don't do it during this life, the Lord will give me another chance, and everything will be all right in the latter time. Well, I really don't know anybody that I would think that would go through life disobeying God and then would be touched with the reality of death and the reality of what follows death, the fire, the heat, the idea of punishment, eternal punishment, when all of those things would weigh upon his mind. I don't really know anybody who would say, well, this is the second time I've been given an opportunity to obey, but I won't do it this time either. Nearly anyone that I could possibly imagine would take advantage of that opportunity. But does the Bible teach there'll be a second chance? Look with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16. And the record says, beginning with verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Now, I realize that most people, when they look at this particular passage, come up with the idea, I'm not certain why, but the idea that we're reading a parable. Well, the passage we're looking at, I affirm, is not a parable. The record says there was a certain rich man, and even the name of the beggar was given, a man named Lazarus. Now, in parables, names are not given. names are not specified in the parables. For instance, the parable of the sower, what was the sower's name? Well, no word given on what his name was. And so I'm suggesting that the passage we're looking at is an actual thought. There was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar whose name was Lazarus. But the record says, during his lifetime, the rich man fared sumptuously. The poor man did not have this, and he only wanted the crumbs that fell from the table of the rich man. He was very deprived during this life. Well, the time finally comes that the beggar died and was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. In other words, there is no mention of a funeral service. He died, and angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. There is a burial in regard to the rich man. But in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried, and now look, here's his plea for a second chance. He cried, and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Well, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented." Now this would be the perfect place for the Lord to say, "Now here we're going to give you another chance. You turned it down during life, but now we'll give you another chance." But in verse 26, it's explained, "Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In other words, there's no going back and forth. There's no change. I wouldn't have to know a great deal of Bible to know that this passage indicates you had your opportunity during your lifetime. Isn't that true with all of us? While we live here upon the earth, we hear the gospel taught, we have an opportunity. No man can know that I can turn down those opportunities during my lifetime and then eventually, after life is over, make a second opportunity available and I'll obey the Lord then. Friends, we can't know it because it's in violation of revealed word. We pray that you'll be with us again tomorrow. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.